Blog Talk Radio.
As the world becomes entwined in the lies from Satan's mind, a leader will arise to take the reins. The end up will bring us peace if you put your hope in me. Renounce the name of Jesus or be slain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Take his mark, believe the lie to chill their hearts. They'll know the time has come to steal their faith. Those who cling to the cross will refuse and pay the cost as God redeems his own from the sea of pain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. As the age draws to an end, hope will tumble down again. Lord will make them feel their sin and shame. You can make the choice right now. Trust in Christ, our hope and crown. Or watch the world you love go up in flames. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose.
Good afternoon, dear saints. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only, the incomparable Sister Marie and her sidekick, yours truly. Well, we have a wonderful broadcast in store for you this beautiful day of October. October's almost over. I can't believe it. It's the 28th day of October. And the year is almost gone, almost. What's not gone is inflation. What's not gone is the Green New Deal. What's not gone is Biden and the crazies out there. Well, this is not my show. This is Sister Marie's show, so I better tap it down. This is not Hugo Talks. No, it's not Sister Marie's show. So let me bring her on. I got a crazy governor here in the state of New York, Ms. Hochul. Oh, boy, I can't wait for them to kick her out in a couple of weeks. And I know you have a wonderful governor that you just can't wait to vote for again.
Oh, yes. Yes.
She is wonderful. Oh, she's a darling. Everybody loves her over there in where you're at. So, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So how you doing?
I'm doing good.
How you
and
doing?
You?
Well, it's a
I'm
beautiful
doing great.
Day. And just excited to be here on the show. And we have a wonderful
mm-hmm.
show in store for the people. So let's get to
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes, we have a lot of audio to go over yet. I think there's like an hour audio left on this. So I'm going
sure.
to jump into this really quick. I'm going to try to do a quick opening just to review here. So this audio is from True Stream Media, and it's called King of the World, the High Symbolism of Charles III Coronation. So last week we studied the history of Charles I and Charles II, and we should understand now why he kept the name Charles. So both the kings failed at their attempts to rule without a governing body. So the kingdom went from government lawlessness under Charles I to extreme legalism under Oliver Cromwell to a new expensive building projects and overspending under Charles II. So knowing that this Major Charles, he's a big part of the UN agenda, we should expect, we know what to expect from him and other leaders across the globe. If we don't, well, thankfully, the Word of God shows us. So just going to briefly say that we have 10 kings. That's Revelation 17:12. Is the number 10 literal? I believe it could be. In my own heart, I believe that because God does use numbers, literal numbers in the Word, you know, throughout his Word.
Absolutely.
So it could
absolutely
be. So, you know, I lean towards it being literal. Their purpose is in verse 13. These kings have one purpose, to yield their power and their authority to the beast. That's, you know, the whole purpose of this. And we can see that coming. But, you know, there's more to this. I mean, really a lot more to this than we realize. But this is the global alignment that we keep hearing about. This is the political alignment, okay?
Right.
It's the political part, not spiritual. So, well, it could be that too. So just to review what these former leaders did, they persecuted the people who rejected their authority. They confiscated weapons from the people so they could not protect themselves and their family. They put taxes on everything, including your soul. They controlled information that went to the people, and that included information coming from the pulpit, and they had no accountability to the people. So will Charles do the same? Yes. And how does that affect America? Well, they all have the same agenda. That's how it affects us. So I heard a news story, and it was actually through a preacher who was teaching. I was listening to a teaching, and he mentioned something I found interesting. He said that Canadian ATF agents caught in Montana spying on American citizens at a gun show. Now think about that. That's Canadian ATF. They were taking pictures of license plates. And a citizen saw them and called the police, the local police. And the sheriff come down to question them, set them aside and said, what are you doing here? The sheriff had no idea they were there. And he kicked them out. Said, out of here. You're not allowed here. But think about that when you can have Canadian ATF come into your country and spy on the American people. That's scary. Scary stuff. So, anything you have to say about that? I thought it was odd.
Well, listen, I don't want anyone coming from another country taking down my license plate number, right? What are you doing here? I mean, I don't go to your country and start writing down license plate numbers.
Right.
So, what business do they have coming over here? What business? Right? I don't want nobody knowing who I'm sending my emails to. It's nobody's business.
Correct.
Like on Block Talk Radio, I don't want anybody knowing what we're talking about other than the audience. I don't want Big Brother, you know, censoring me if we're talking about the Antichrist. I don't want him censoring the show and putting it and blocking its algorithm so that nobody sees it. Who wants that?
Right. No one.
I'm pretty sure they monitor. Like, for example, I watch the Inspirational Channel, which is Little House on the Prairie, The Waltons, shows like that. So mm-hmm. they're going to say, you know, this guy's a dope. Okay. You could think that all you want, and I'm sure they're monitoring what we watch on TV.
Correct.
Right?
That is correct.
So,
yep.
But, you know, for now, I know my country's doing it, but for another country to come and do it, when my country's already doing it, that's a double insult.
That is right. That is
right.
And I would have a question. How did they get across border with
right.
our agents if they went through? Did our agents
mm-hmm.
let them in? If so, why?
Yeah.
Why would our border agents let ATF from another country come into our country to spy on the citizens? Yeah. Can't make those up.
And why weren't their notes confiscated?
Right.
Why didn't you take the information that they wrote? Why didn't you take it away from them? Because that's illegal surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So
what's illegal in Canada, you know, or in America might not be illegal in Canada. Who knows?
Right.
You know, so they're just doing what's legal in their country and, you know, coming over here and doing
mm-hmm.
things that are illegal over here. That was a good point. That's exactly, you know, what they're doing. But I found it interesting. That was an interesting sermon and, you
sure.
know, or teaching. And when he said that, I thought, I'm writing that down. I'm going to mention that because that fits into exactly what's going on.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. Sure.
Our country. So we're going to start this at 50:30, and the reason we're going
okay.
to go back 3 minutes is he just started to say this was a new form of monarchy. So I'm
okay.
going to try to keep my response notes as short as possible in order to get the information out. You know.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll see
I'll
how
do
it
my
goes.
Best.
This 50-
I'll do my best.
You can stop
listen,
it as you like.
Listen,
go ahead.
It was only a couple of months ago that this guy Charlie here was thought
mm-hmm.
to be a big fat zero. Now
exactly.
all of a sudden, oh my goodness, he's the greatest thing since you know what. Give me a break.
Yep.
Give me a break. Give
what do they
break.
Call that creeper that sits behind the curtain? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Sure. Okay, here it is.
Measure emissions. Animals are placed in animal-friendly respiration chambers. Gas output is measured over 2 days through automated systems.
So pretty upset would be a mild understatement. The message I'm getting from farmers is we must oppose this.
So there's been a massive backlash, protests, nearly an uprising, and yet a firm hand that has been deaf to their pleas. It's purely monarchical. It's a new form of monarchy. And so at the level above that, for Charles III, the crown monarch, until quite recently, and for the majority of his life, the Prince of Wales, this has meant nourishing countless organizations, repeating himself ad nauseum, using his prestige to get this agenda set in place. And through a half century of involvement with the United Nations, with Davos, and with all their spin-offs and counterparts, he's developed this type of forceful nurturing to address these environmental concerns and, you know, make a campaign to rehabilitate the earth and push for these kind of policies like we've seen in the Netherlands. And it basically amounts to what appears to be Charles's core belief in himself.
We are reaching a global tipping point, as it has been mentioned many times here, in areas that are so close to the heart of His Royal Highness.
Or at least in the reflection that he perceives in the mirror as a kind of quasi-savior of the world.
With a growing global population creating ever-increasing demand on the planet's finite resources, we have to reduce emissions urgently and take action to tackle the carbon already in the atmosphere.
Leading to a broader effort, Charles III's crusades, if you will, his God-given mission, his great work, for this environmental stuff.
The COVID-19 pandemic has shown us just how devastating a global cross-border threat can be. Climate change and biodiversity loss are no different. In fact, they pose an even greater existential threat, to the extent that we have to put ourselves on what might be called a warlike footing.
And this amounts to an emergency crisis that Charles himself claims necessitates a military-style response similar to the Marshall Plan that's required to combat climate change.
Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector. With trillions at his disposal, far beyond global GDP.
And he repeated himself and doubled down, calling for a vast military-style campaign that would, quote, marshal the strength of the global private sector. Nothing short of what he calls a war against climate change.
As we tackle this crisis, our efforts cannot be a series of independent initiatives running in parallel. The scale and scope of the threat we face call for a global systems-level solution.
And of course, the solutions here are always flush with more powers for governing forces and for global bodies.
And with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders.
He's called for a marshaled and deputized global private sector gathered together, you know, but it's a war against climate change, not for corporate profits, not for greenwashing huge fortunes, nope, for climate change. A forceful nurturing from our best and brightest, from our wealthiest and most elite.
We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars.
The then Prince Charles called for a, quote, radical new world economy to tackle climate change. He endorsed the UN's COP26 agenda and reiterated their calls to, quote, mobilize finance to the tune of raising $100 billion and above for climate action.
Yeah, he wants to be like the Fauci of climate change,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yes.
It was only a couple of months ago, like I said, Charlie here was Charlie Brown.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, again, I know he's got money. I know he's got the connections. I know all of that, but, you know, this is an empty suit. This is what you call an empty suit.
Mm-hmm.
He stands up there, and what does he know? What does he know about? Is he a scientist? Does he have a PhD in science? And even if he did,
yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't qualify him because
mm-hmm.
Al Gore was saying that by 2016, the world would have been destroyed by climate change. With 6 years later, we survived 2016. What's he talking about? You see,
that was
in Al Gore's movie, The Inconvenient Truth. Well,
mm-hmm.
We were all supposed to be washed away by 2016. It's 2022. I'm looking outside the windows, a beautiful day. The woodpecker's pecking away at the tree.
Yes, everything's normal outside.
Everything's normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So what is Charlie talking about here? What's this guy talking about?
What he wants is a military response to climate change. In other words, he wants, you know, those words are intentional. That's a martial law. That's what he's
Absolutely.
Getting at there, you know. That's
sure,
what
sure.
he's saying. And if you consider how BLM wanted to defund the police, and
right.
you can see how now they opened the door for the military to police the
sure.
people. All these
right.
agendas are part of one big plan.
Sure.
And this is the plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and you will hear he was crowned king of this agenda in this. You will see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
No doubt.
So,
no doubt. No
yeah,
doubt.
Yeah.
And it's no joke.
Who
I mean,
knew?
These people have all these nations under them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they do. I remember one
yes,
time I went to Jamaica, the first time I went to Jamaica, and I didn't say it to put people down, but I said, you guys speak beautiful English. And they said, of course we do. We speak the Queen's English. I said, excuse mm-hmm. me.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Meanwhile, you know, I'm not going to say anything else. Okay. The Queen's English. Okay. All right. God bless you. You know.
Yeah.
All right.
This
okay.
is
here's more.
This is Charles
yeah.
in charge. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Those are fighting words. A military style response. And going by a detailed look at his activities, appearances, and public statements over the past few decades, Prince Charles has been building up the globe from his shadow cabinet for the vast bulk of his life. There's no real end to the committees, the awards, the series of trusts, the appearances that start with the title the Prince's Foundation or that are connected to his friends in high finance that so frequently associate with him. As King Charles III, the former Prince of Wales is now undergoing the most literal metamorphosis possible for a human, and as such, he must publicly step back from and distance himself from prior activities and boards. But today, with most of the British Empire lost since World War II to the cost of maintenance, and the throne itself considered largely symbolic, King Charles III comes into his crown without any real need for it. His fellow travelers have already coated the earth with tiny ropes and the web spread strategically, planting the seeds of control for the maturing oaks of environmental jurisdiction at large. A plan for supranational, total global governance has long been underway. The quote, sustainable and biodiverse earth that is off limits to commoners, but held in trust by a non-elective quasi-governmental body set up by a corporate elite. It isn't pure monarchy, and Charles wouldn't hold ultimate power, but the system he's helped bring into fruition is a potent remix of the chartered powers that were stylistically typical of the crown, and which ultimately empower both plutocracy and monarchy. A para-government with arbitrary power operating without boundaries, yet claiming tangible jurisdiction and a domain via global environmental threats that also know no state boundaries. It's an ultimate ring of power, but not one that has a mandate from the people. No great charter, no constitution, no consent, no duties except those towards the environment, a pretext that always assumes too many people using too much power and energy. If successful, it will be a renaissance of the feudal landlord age, a golden age for most of the elite. Controls on human behavior, restrictions on personal access to shopping, public places, businesses, restrictions on travel, mandatory screenings, submission to experimental treatments, forced changes in diets.
Right. Let's see which one of us can touch his toes. Right over from the hips, brothers and sisters, please.
One, two.
Even an arbitrary tax on breathing is no exaggeration. And even if most of these powers aren't used on a day-to-day basis, the idea that they've been tested and legitimized is super creepy. But suck it up. Stop asking questions. Silence your publications. Show respect for the monarch. Show respect for your rulers, for the earth. Respect the crown. But keep a dignified demeanor. Adjustments to your personal lives are for the greater good. It's your duty. But authorized by who and on what authority? The excesses at the top, meanwhile, are easily written off on the balance sheets. Offset, of course. Forced down the throats of the people through a media blitz of decades.
What they're doing now is they're showing
swirling around the World Economic Forum, the UN, or the Club of Rome, which actually declared mankind itself to be the enemy.
In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself.
But also, centuries ago in Royal England, under Thomas Malthus, who emphasized the supposed mathematical certainty of the population outstripping the food supply, a surefire formula he used to advocate a covert genocide against the masses of poor. He did so with the tacit endorsement of the dominant aristocracy, who benefited the most from Malthus's eugenical worldview, upholding their own view of superiority genetically as a stock, as a breed, of the upper classes against a misfit population he viewed in proto-scientific terms as something like a backwater best bleached from the earth. These views were reworked over the years, cleaned up a little, yeah, but have continued to resurface. It lent itself to a seemingly scientific and modern reinforcement of the supposed superiority of the upper classes. And the crown itself is so eugenically bolstered to the exclusion of everyone else that the royals theoretically hold true both a divine superiority with their hereditary bloodline selected by God for perpetual and unquestionable preference, and by a genetic superiority derived from the triumphs of Darwin's fittest, particular to their bloodline and race, well-born eugenics to its fullest. A religious and scientific pedigree, a social evolution where all meaningful levers of power are squarely landed with the landed class, a tiny, elect, and well-pruned, well-born group of peers.
Yeah, we see this this bloodline crap everywhere. Take, for example, the church. Well, Joel Osteen's father left the church to who?
Joel.
Right. And then who's Joel going to leave it to?
Right. Exactly.
See the bloodline?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Swaggart. He's still kicking, but his cousin died today, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh,
so Jimmy Swaggart still... Yeah, they're cousins.
Thank you for the news today.
So Jerry Lee Lewis dies. Okay, so Jimmy Swaggart, who's going to take over for Jimmy? His son, Donnie. Who's going to take over for Donnie? Gabriel.
Yeah, you know, that's...
See?
Exactly right. Yep.
Right? Marilyn Hickey, Miss Jack-O-Lantern herself. Who's taken over from Marilyn Hickey? Her daughter, Sarah, little Jack-O-Lantern. Okay?
Right.
Paula White, who does she give the church to? Her son, Bradley. There was nobody else?
Right.
T.D. Jakes, who did he just crown successor at Woman Thou Art Loose? His daughter, Sarah.
His daughter, yeah.
Isn't there anybody else? No, because these are monarchies.
That's right. That's right.
And people don't want to see that. Dopey people in the church don't want to see. And they're clapping, she was crowned the queen. What? You morons, you're on a plantation. Don't you see
it?
Yes,
and this is the monarch. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You know, these technocrats, we talked about eugenics, you know,
right.
And now we see how this fits in. You see?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, people don't realize it, but that's the way it is. And that's
the downfall.
It's sad.
The people don't see it.
Correct.
The people don't see it. And that is going to be the problem for the real church, is the people that don't see within the church are actually helping in this, you know, to move this agenda forward because they don't see it. So they support it without even knowing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, here's more.
And don't forget, Philip claimed he wanted to be resurrected as a virus. Oh, yes, it's in the book, If I Were an Animal.
At the basis of it all is this colossal increase in the human population. It's one of the living species of the planet, but it's reaching plague proportions.
HRH.
Well, he was a plague, right? I mean, you didn't have to die to reincarnate. I mean, what do you think? You are a virus. You're a virus of uselessness. I mean, what do you think? He's sitting there pontificating. What do you think you were? You're a virus.
Yep.
I want to be a virus. You are one. You already reached your potential.
He got his wish. He got his wish.
Right? He got his wish. Oh, my goodness. So stupid. Okay.
Oh, you know what I thought of, though, with that, bro? I did think of Romans 1:25, where it said, because he wrote a book, if I were an animal, I thought, well, they exchanged, Romans 1:25 said they exchanged for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Note the humility at the end of the sentence there.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
So what were those creatures? What were they? To corruptible man, to the birds, to the four-footed beasts, and the creeping things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's so.
Sure.
Anybody that writes a book, if I were an animal, and wants to be resurrected as a virus, may fit that scripture.
Yeah.
I
mean,
we'll see.
Listen. The guy, like you said, his wish came true. He was a virus.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Yep.
He was a virus on humanity.
That's right.
A virus, and he's gone now.
Yep.
And we didn't need an injection to get rid of him. We didn't need one.
Exactly. Oh boy.
All right. Yep.
It's the Prince of Wales, now out of waiting and claiming his rightful title as His Royal Majesty, continues the work of his father, Prince Philip, who co-founded the World Wildlife Fund, the WWF, which traded most of all in mental pictures, poster images of endangered animals and imperiled habitats in desperate need of intervention, putting a panda's morbidly cute face.
Didn't these guys go hunting?
Yes.
Didn't they go on fox hunts?
Well, they did fire that a while. Years ago,
Okay. Yeah, but look.
When he was in, they hunted. Yes, they did hunt.
Listen.
And all the deer in England are on their land. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
It's all on their property. The deer.
And they go hunt. And the queen used to go hunting. They all used to go hunting.
Yes, exactly.
And they're worried about animals, the endangered species. Meanwhile,
mm-hmm.
they're filling their bellies with deer meat.
Yep.
I mean, why didn't they put a poster of a deer? What? Elephants, leopards, lions, panda. Where's the deer? They don't want to put the deer up there because
mm-hmm.
they're hypocrites. We don't want you driving those SUVs. But meanwhile, each one of them has a huge SUV.
Yes.
But they don't want you having
one. Exactly. That's right. You'll own nothing and be happy. Remember that?
Exactly.
That's their motto.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
Okay. They're such hypocrites. They're such hypocrites.
Yep. Oh, I know.
They don't even tell you half the stuff they do. They're wicked people.
Oh, I know. They are.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Over the shadier work of managing the human population, restricting land preserves, and thus tugging again at the age-old feud between the common people and monarchs over land usage.
So now the next thing which is happening in Austria and also in Germany is that people are going into the forest and collect some firewood. In most forests, which is private property here in Austria and Germany, this is not allowed. even if it's a forest which is owned by the government, you still have to get permission. So you cannot just go into the forest and pick up some branches because it's all private property. And if you do not have the permission, then it's stealing. They have made a special law in Austria that you can walk in every private forest, but you're not allowed to collect firewood without the permission. And that's what's happening now. And that's because the firewood price in Europe has surged.
Good. I'll put it in my underwear. That's all. I'll take sticks as long as my leg, and I'll put them in my pants, and that's it. I'm walking. That's all.
Start collecting sticks now.
Exactly.
I'm not giving away any more trees that I cut down out back. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Oh. Absolutely. I mean, this is tyranny. This is tyranny.
Yeah, and you remember, I was thinking about this when we were on holiday. You could camp, at one time you could camp anywhere without a problem. And now
Right. You
pay to drive in forest areas. You know, like in the Grand Tetons, you got to pay to go in there.
Wow.
This is, you know, you're driving on a road and you get so far and they have a booth and they have claimed that area that's theirs. You know, the little booth there.
Amazing.
$30 to get in to drive on the road, like your toll booth.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
To go into, you know, the mountains. Think about it. Crazy.
Amazing.
It?
Sure.
Yep.
Here's more.
The relationship between land usage and the rights of the people notably dates back to King John and his dispute with the lords who demanded the Magna Carta. This is some Robin Hood shit. More recent monarchs, Charles I in particular, have tried since that time to once again impinge on the age-old rights of the forest, which directly affects common people. He used it to raise prices and deny resources to those people, basically spiting their lives. And yet, centuries later, after all those challenges to the kings, the legal history of basic rights for ordinary people, after the need to restrain arbitrary powers had already been worked out, we somehow find ourselves in a position where a similar note is being struck at scale with the entire earth as we know it. And Charles' personal vision for sustainable energy and planned cities in the way he sees it and how it contrasts so sharply with the hordes of people who just want to be able to afford fuel, their homes, food at prices they could afford for their families, who are at this very time facing economic and energy crises. Instead of reading the room and grasping these very real problems, acknowledging the issues of ordinary people and the insane levels of inequality between ordinary people and billionaires who were swaying the entire public conversation, instead of understanding that people are wary of further control under any pretext, tone-deaf Charles, in 2021, just ahead of becoming king, unveiled his very own, quote, Terra Carta, a document he created that I see as an inversion of the Magna Carta and the balance of power set up ages ago, back in the 13th century, to restrain the arbitrary powers of monarchs. Implicitly rejecting that tradition in the very vein of his two former namesakes, Charles I and II, Charles III's Terra Carta bypasses the people he supposedly governs, instead putting the earth into the contract, the charter, the agreement, the earth, in quotes, and setting aside the precedents for social contracts and the balance of power with people, relative fairness, relative freedom in their affairs, with respect to the issues they've had with monarchs all throughout history, time after time. Watch those Shakespeare history plays. It's all that stuff. And the tarot card is all the creepier because it could be voluntarily ascribed to by corporate partners who agree to honor its top-down principles and in return are in the position of having preferential business with research and development labs, the innovators of these climate mitigation technologies and these big earth-sized solutions in partnership with Charles's own tarot card design lab. And
here's the thing. People are going to get so mad with these. I'm talking about the public. They're going to get so mad with these people that they're going to storm their palaces. They're going to storm their places of residence. And they're just going to kill them. That, you know.
Well, I hope so, because when I listen to the younger generation, they're buying this climate thing. They're discerning,
you know,
as far as they see what's going on, but they're buying the climate thing.
When listen, when kids start to starve or freeze to death,
right?
How many guards would you say Charles has? How many guards would you say has?
I think he has like 800 servants or something. They said people
okay.
who wait
well,
on him.
Okay, so this is what's going to happen.
I'm not sure about the guards.
This is what's going to happen.
That's
you're going to get
British
ten
Army.
To 12. You're going to get 10 to 12,000 people that are going to mob the palace.
Yeah.
Because people can't take this nonsense.
Right.
They can't. You know.
Right.
This is the first winter now. This is the first winter where Europe is going to be faced with freezing temperatures and no oil.
Yep.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens now this winter. Just like now, you look at the Democrats. They're going to feel the wrath of the American voter now.
Mm-hmm.
Come November 8th, the wrath.
I hope so.
The wrath. Because people can't take it anymore. People can't take, you know, when Biden says, there's no inflation. No, there's no inflation. Well, that's because you get everything.
Yes, exactly. Not for him.
Listen to me. I live in cow country, okay? I'm surrounded by cows everywhere. There are cows everywhere.
Yep.
A gallon of milk where I am is $5. A gallon of milk. You used to see that in New York City. The gallon of milk here was $1.90. $2.25, depending on the quality of milk you want.
Right.
$2.25 the most. It's $5 now.
Wow.
That's inflation.
Yes.
And people are tired of it. They're sick and tired of it. They're tired
I
of the drag queens. They're shoving drag queens down your neck, right down your throat. That's it. Enough's enough. Enough's enough.
Well, that'll bring
and
in
people
the... That'll help bring it in, you see. You know, when you look at Whitmer, that was part of a militia. Under our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, we are to establish, the United States is to establish a militia in case the government gets out of control, okay? If they get too big, the government, the militia is to go in and, you know, take the government.
They handle business.
So
handle business.
They handle business. That's a part of the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and the Constitution of the United States. It was established. Well, what do we see? They're getting arrested. It's my idea from what I've read that these people said that they were just going to bring her in as a militia. Now they've been charged with kidnapping. You see?
Yep. Well, it's going to get ugly. I'm telling you, people are
not. It's
going
to get ugly,
People, it's just like in Canada, right? Look at all the truckers, right? Mm-hmm. All the truckers.
Yep.
And Trudeau took away their bank accounts. And one guy's going to do this to all of us? They're going to get mad. And they're going to storm palaces. And you're not going to have enough cops. You're not going to have enough security to stop people from just getting rid of you, because they've had enough.
That's why they want to get rid of the guns.
Right.
You see?
People have had enough. Enough's enough.
Yep.
So hopefully now we'll do it without guns on November 8th and we'll throw these people out, because I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying that's going to be the natural historical outcome, because whenever you've seen these kinds of abuses by monarchs, the people take the law into their own hands. You see this again and again in history. People don't want their kids to starve. That's it.
That's right.
What right does Bill Gates have to telling me that I got to eat plastic meat?
Right.
What right does he have? None. What right does he have to be going to Africa and giving people vaccines to stop them from having kids? What right does he have to do that? There's a special place in hell for guys like him.
They have none.
Sure.
Give
that to his wife, Melissa.
So many of these people are not elected officials. Remember, we talked about that. We talked about all this, of how these people will come in who are unelected, and they just take over. You know, that's and we're seeing it now, what's going on.
Sure. Like Fauci, right? Fauci's not elected.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
exactly. But he had us playing Simple Simon Said, right? Simple Simon Said, do this, and the people did it. And do this, and they were doing that. Enough. The same thing with Slob. His days are number two.
Yeah.
And Janet Yellen, didn't know inflation. She said today, didn't know inflation. Late. And you're the top economic leader of the country. And listen, I don't have any degree in mathematics, but I can tell you there's inflation, lady. There's
absolutely.
Inflation. Okay.
Yep.
And by the way, Charles's Terra Carta Design Lab, their most recent innovation is a plan for methane-converting gas masks to be worn by livestock and cattle. Take a look at that image. With the weight of a royal title, Charles as...
Okay, so they're going to put plugs on the cows on the backside. And they're going to... Okay, do they get a plug? Does Charles get a plug?
No. He has a butt wiper.
I wouldn't doubt
crappy
that.
Job.
I would.
It's a crappy job.
No, I wouldn't doubt that. Well, I wouldn't doubt that.
I believe he does. I believe he does. An arse
wiper. I wouldn't doubt that.
Oh
my God. What? I mean, you have to be desperate to want that job. I mean, you have to,
crappy,
oh, my goodness.
Crappy job.
Oh, my. Tell me about it. With crappy benefits.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Wow.
Can't make this up. You can't make these things up, and yet people are falling for it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
This is strong delusion.
And,
this is a strong delusion they're falling for.
And they're
filling
out resumes. They're filling out resumes and applications for their job, and they're praying for that they get the job. They're praying.
Yes, exactly.
They're on their knees.
I think the guys in here who does a lot of that work in this clip. Oh, boy.
Wow. Okay.
Prince of Wales has long leveraged his influence with a group of corporate partners who have extremely deep pockets. Those who are and have been aiming to transform the world through their partnerships, which usually reap them preferential business deals, you know, whatever, for the earth, almost to the point of the royal monopolies that were issued under King Charles I centuries ago. You know, policies to help them manifest their tightly regulated visions of, quote, sustainable living. But all those tentacles of power, those ships, they've all sailed. They're in place. They're positioned. Charles, as crowned king, need not say word one. He can comfortably keep with the appearance of being a ceremonial monarch only, and especially with respect to not interfering with the affairs of Britain. The causes he's contributed to have already shaped the agenda, and the collaboration of a feast of thieves gathered around the golden goose of sustainability, environment, climate change, prestidigitation has already commenced. I mean, the big moment at WEF 2020, he didn't just promote the Great Reset. He was crowned by that agenda. He announced it to the world in the appearance of being a monarch, you know, during this WEF 2020, where he was sort of king of the world, with this issue. It was in that context that he announced the beginning of the Great Reset agenda, officially launched there at WEF 2020 with all the other people that are connected to it.
Please welcome His Royal Highness, the Prince of Wales.
And that insignia that they have there,
mm-hmm.
with the three horns, that's 666.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's 666.
Actually, listen, if you count those, that fleur-de-lis, I think it's called,
right.
He has got, it's five, there's six rainbow colors, five, and then six, which comes out to 656. But if you add the 10 kings, and you talk about 10 kings, that's 10 on that is 666. So my
right.
mind went to, is he a forerunner to the 10 kings in this global
Probably.
Agenda?
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Probably.
If this is
yep.
656, you add the 10 kings according to the book of Revelation, you get 666. So I'm wondering if he's opening the door, he's the forerunner to this, because he is king of the agenda.
Yep.
Just a thought.
Yes, he
that
is.
That went through my brain. I saw it.
Yeah.
You know, and you remember the tear, that's the Darnell. Where did
mm-hmm.
that originate? France and Germany. What is
yep.
that over his head? French.
Yep.
Where's he from?
Yep.
Germany.
Yep.
Okay, just saying. Just saying.
Just saying. Just saying.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am most touched that Professor Klaus Schwab should have invited me to be with you as we mark the 50th anniversary of the World Economic Forum and its mission to improve the state of the world. It is this mission and the urgent need to shape the next 50 years that has inspired me to be with you here today.
Real quick, I just want to point this out because I noticed it and I can't unsee it now. They didn't just crown His Royal Majesty at the 50th anniversary of the 2020 WEF meeting where Charles, not Klaus Schwab, who officially, formally announced the Great Reset. We live in such a video game at this point that they literally went out of their way to crown him with the United Nations 2030 Sustainable Development Goals. So check out his ginormous rainbow fleur-de-lis crown here. You think that there'd easily be three sections of six lines to make this graphic, but no, the middle section only has five, for a total of 17 lines. And where have you seen that number? Well, you have a total of 17 sustainable goals on this UN Global Goals chart, each one being a different shade of a color.
Because the next line is, that's the Antichrist.
Correct. Correct.
That's the one line they're waiting for. He's not here yet, so that line ain't there.
That's right. That's what I said. Do the 10 kings start after that? You know what I'm saying? If you add the 10 kings on, yep, it starts.
There you go.
Amazing. And you know,
Absolutely.
Bro, this was him at 2020. Think about it. This was 2020. We were yelling about this in 2018-19. Coming down the pipes, saying this stuff's
mm-hmm.
coming down the pipes. We didn't know he was king or going to be king in 2020. We didn't know.
Yeah,
who was king.
When you look at that, the interesting thing is that on top there
mm-hmm.
are six. There are six lines, but then two of the six merge in the middle to only become five.
Well, that's interesting too, isn't it? Because
right.
we also have a five in the Bible.
Right. So it's all there.
King. Yeah, it's all
it's
there.
It's all there. Yep.
Symbolism. See, there's a meaning behind the symbolism. Every bit of it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's all there. It's all there.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
And no two are the exact same color. Now look at his crown. There are four blue lines. You also have four blue goals, corresponding to those shades of blue. There's three green ones for the three green goals, three yellow shades for those, and the rest are shades of orange, red, and pink. I mean, what I'm saying is they actually went to the trouble of having a graphic designer sit over there somewhere in a cubicle and make each line in Charles West's crown to correspond to the shade of a color of one of these UN SDGs for this speech where, again, it isn't Klaus Schwab announcing the Great Reset, but His Royal Majesty over there telling everyone what the agenda to shape the future is about to look like.
The urgent need to shape the next 50 years, that has inspired me.
The fact that they took it that far to literally crown him the majesty of the UN's 2030 goals is making a pretty bold statement about who this man is and what his role is going to be for the future they're shaping and building here, don't you think? I mean, likewise, the United Nations has also used this graphic for their General Assembly meetings, where they have these giant screens on the wall in the main room where all the representatives meet, where the goals themselves are ticked out like a clock around the entire Earth, and they have it suspended in outer space. So the colors then come down around the walls as if they're surrounding the UN representatives down on the floor. So when Charles wears this crown in front of everyone at West, I'm just saying, could they be any more literal with this symbolism of what they're trying to say here? So you have two unelected, supranational, global bodies now crowning a hereditary monarch in gold with words like justice and equality. King of the world!
I'm the king of the world!
It just doesn't get more ironic. The level of this irony is so great that I feel like if anything else was added to it, it would implode and create a black hole that would destroy all of reality. Remember back in 1987 at an address to the UN General Assembly when President Ronald Reagan said that line about how our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world?
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
Well, they've got that idea covered now in the framing of the climate threat and how no matter what governments do individually, even if they're doing them at the same time,
our efforts cannot be a series of independent initiatives running in parallel.
It has to be a global thing.
A global cross-border threat
that supersedes national boundaries
beyond even the governments of the world's leaders,
which is going to require more money than the entire world's GDP.
This will take trillions, not billions of dollars, far beyond global GDP.
Or it simply won't work.
For a global systems-level solution.
So instead of worrying about how some emotionless, psychopathic aliens from, say, the TV show V are going to show up here and unhinge their jaw like an Oral-B commercial and eat guinea pigs while they set up a global military dictatorship, now we're just going to get unelected hereditary monarchs.
The Prince of Wales has grown up in such a privileged lifestyle. Everything is done for him. His pajamas are pressed every morning. His shoelaces are pressed flat with an iron.
Who literally don't even put the toothpaste on their own toothbrush when they brush their teeth.
Prince Charles does have his valet squeeze 1 inch of toothpaste onto his toothbrush every morning. If anyone gets anything wrong, everybody is scolded.
To lecture us all on global bodies of power.
Taxes, policies and regulations
that need trillions of dollars.
Trillions, not.
The guy cleaning his fanny better not get it wrong.
Because he puts his toothpaste on his toothbrush, can you imagine? That's true.
Yeah.
That's all true. And I did hear that,
yeah,
that he actually does from one of the insiders in the palace, you know, in Buckingham back then. I heard that. So I thought, what? You know, this
wow
alien thing is a rabbit hole. That's what that is.
Oh, sure.
And that's why
absolutely
it's, yeah. Yeah. So sure, we know why it's being promoted right now, you know?
Absolutely.
We
got to
have global threats of something,
sure,
whether it be pandemic,
sure,
you know, wars, rumors of wars, you know.
Yep, yep.
The Orson Welles
yep
thing worked, remember?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah,
everybody's in
the
panic.
Worlds.
Well, yeah, if you,
yep,
well,
yep,
if you can get the dummies to believe it, the dummies will be in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not billions of dollars.
To quote, level the playing field.
It is time to level the playing field.
Like we're supposed to believe a man so pampered, he can't even turn the knob on his bathtub to fill up his own bathwater.
The water temperature has to be just tepid and only half full.
Knows anything about a level playing field or has any remote clue of what the playing field even is.
And to the encouragement of corporate social and environmental responsibility.
On one occasion, he rang me from his library and he said, oh, Paul, a letter from the Queen seems to have fallen into my waste paper bin. Would you pick it out? The waste paper bin was there. He was sat there. I had to bend down into the paper bin and pick out the letter, put it back on his desk. Will that be all, Your Royal Highness?
Or any concept, whatever, on what the average person thinks or feels or wants or needs or cares about in this world.
A vast military-style campaign, a warlike footing, with trillions at his disposal.
Will that be all, Your Royal Highness?
And by the way, this entire Marshall Plan part of Charles UN climate conference speech last November might sound just a teens bit familiar, as it's basically plagiarized from the speech given by Baron Edmund de Rothschild back in 1992 at the UNCED conference, also known as the Rio Earth Summit.
But perhaps this conference might like to think more about the Marshall Plan, which had been mooted and put forward very sensibly at the Denver conference. And perhaps this might be the keynote of what you have heard today and what perhaps you might like, in some perhaps amended form, to have put forward by her Brundtland report, which has been widely circulated to world leaders. She could follow up this report with the recommendations to promote a second Marshall Plan, the third world debt relief, and finance for a stable development.
Funny how that works, isn't it? On a side note, do you ever notice in these speeches that the people they keep panning to in the audience all look like they're being held hostage? Well, look at these people. Look at Boris. He's like, please, I just want some water. I'm so thirsty. I'll do whatever you say. Just let me see my family again. Please. Well, Charles drones on and on about the issue is the sustainable markets. The markets must be sustainable. Like, please. My soul is decaying inside my body. Please. Please make him stop talking, please. I just want to go home.
In his promotion of the Great Reset.
Yeah, when you look at all those people in the crowd, they're bored to death.
Yes, exactly. She puts the humor in it, you know? But it's true,
sure,
what she's saying. Absolutely true. Now, you heard,
yeah,
the Rothschilds again. Now, we just talked,
mm-hmm,
about them, and that's what I thought, you know? That's exactly what I thought. Now we understand why the military outfits at the funeral, they were,
mm-hmm,
Rothschild colors. You see?
Right.
They're,
yep,
connected.
Sure they are.
Who's behind
them? Absolutely.
Who's behind a lot of them? Soros.
Absolutely.
Rothschilds, you see?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they're all in cahoots. They've been in cahoots for, you know, and this is why, see, when America was founded, the founders wanted they didn't want two things. They said no pope,
right?
And no king.
Right.
In other
words,
they said to the old world, to the European world, you keep your pope, you keep your monarchs. This is the new world. This is the new adventure. This is a new experiment. This is the American experiment. We want no pope. We want no king.
And no government takes over the people.
Right. Sure.
Yep.
Sure. And so this is what you have. And now you have the old world trying to bring them under their power by the pope again and by a new king.
Exactly. Oh, Rome is so behind us. Rome is
absolutely
behind us. I can't tell you.
Sure.
He said back in 2020, Charles himself identified the pandemic crisis, aptly termed Corona, a.k.a. Crown, as a, quote, golden opportunity. An opportunity, he said, to, quote, seize something good from the crisis. A sort of, you're our only hope, Obi-Wan Kenobi, for salvation.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Give us a global government's kind of announcement.
We have no alternative, because otherwise, unless we take the action necessary and we build, again, in a greener and more sustainable and more inclusive way, then we will end up having more and more pandemics and more disasters.
This is our most desperate hour.
He said that the pandemic, which has forced governments worldwide to mothball their economies, had showed people that dramatic change was possible. This pandemic, as part of the Great Reset, the rebooting of the economy, showed the powers that could be exercised at the global level, showed that the people and the people's governments were to be subservient to a new type of crown. And when he announced the Great Reset and promoted its agenda, he didn't just promote it. He was under a crown. He was crowned by the agenda, and his partnership with WEF included recognizing his position as a sort of global monarch, at least symbolically. And that's nothing new. He held a similar motivation when he appeared via hologram at a conference in 2008 to show that he was environmental yet distantly aloof, while at the same time promoting sustainability and heralding a new age where energy would be saved by limiting travel.
To vanish into the air and leave not a carbon
fuel and time would be saved by teleconferencing and business and by having a metaverse type of presence in the very near future, together but separate, distant yet connected, ad nauseum, Obi-Wan, Obi, I'm my only hope. Whereas previous kings have sometimes needed to imprison dissenters or hang a few rogues to garner proper respect for their dictates, the monarchs of today can witness entire nation-states and economies held hostage by a global crisis, an imperiling emergency that can comfortably supersede the sovereignty of all together under a planetary uh-oh of unimaginable proportions. As we move from rescue to recovery, therefore, we have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path. It is an opportunity we have never had before and may never have again. We must use all the levers we have at our disposal, knowing that each and every one of us has a vital role to play, end quote. Charles Mountbatten, Windsor. Now, just one last thing.
All right, you want to comment on any of that, what he just said?
Well, you know, the white horse was given a crown, too. The crown means corona.
Right.
And he appeared via hologram, you know, and
mm-hmm.
this building back, what did
right.
they run on? Build back better. you know.
Right.
See, the monarchy had become a tourist attraction, you know, and they want their actual kingdom power back.
Right.
And he was presented as only rightful lord and king. Now ponder that. Only rightful lord and king. That's it. That's all I have to say. Oh, did we lose you now? Oh, great. Well, he'll be back. So I'll just talk and go on until he gets back because we had this problem last week. So, yeah, they were a tourist attraction. When Diana died, they were talking about getting rid of the monarchy because of the Queen's attitude towards Diana. They were upset enough to get rid of the monarchy at that time. But when Charles, you know, who just sat back and waited for his time, the people over there just dismissed him, basically. You know, he was dismissed as a nobody. But one of the things they did do is they went around and they sponsored what they called charities. That was their job. But what they were really doing is building up these agendas all around the monarchy, you know, around him being king. So, yeah, we're still waiting for Bro. So I think, you know, with he's looking really shady at this point, and we are not ignorant of Satan's devices by any means. So when he gets back, I think one of the things we'll probably get into is the coronation and its actual ritual ceremony. Because that's
what
it
happened.
Is. Well, I was talking away. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know what happened. But I'm back.
Yeah, well, it happens a lot. It does happen to us. So we.
Yeah,
I just kept talking about the monarchy and, you know, how they were going. It was just a tourist attraction, you know, and especially when Diana died, you know, they were going to dissolve it, basically, and how we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, I talked about he's going to go into the coronation, I believe, which is an actual ritual ceremony. There's more to the coronation than people realize. So
sure,
that's
no
all
doubt.
I said
no
while
doubt.
You were gone.
Look, it's just like when you attend an African American church and someone's being elevated to bishop, and they take
exactly
their time.
It's exactly the same, bro.
Yeah, they take their time putting each thing on the bishop and then explaining what this is and what this represents.
Yep.
And you know it's a bunch of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's a mystery religion. You know that they're not telling you the truth.
Correct.
Right? So.
And if we go into that, when we get into that, you will see the actual, that makes your case for the bishops. You know, for that ritual with the bishops. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Thing
it's the same nonsense.
So they're the new monarch in the church, see?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you said.
Yep.
So.
Over the past 6 months, we have been investigating as well as exposing the truth behind all of these food processing plants that have been catching on fire.
Okay,
and
I don't know. Hold on.
The Dutch.
Something crazy going on here. Okay.
A commercial, probably.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
That's
we're
okay.
back. Okay. Oh, my
All
goodness.
Right.
What a... All right.
Do you know where you left off?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're back. Yeah, like you said, it was a commercial. It was a commercial.
All right.
Okay.
We must use all the levers we have at our disposal, knowing that each and every one of us has a vital role to play, end quote. Charles Mountbatten, Windsor. Now, just one last thing. I submit that just as Charles II fought to restore monarchy with an axe to grind about his father, Charles III is fighting to restore the powers of monarchy that has become limited after centuries of political, social, and technological changes that have fundamentally altered the structures and balance of power.
That's a very good point. I think that is Charles' motivation to, in other words, to reestablish what the monarchy once was.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be a figurehead. He doesn't want to be a figurehead. He doesn't want to be a tourist attraction. Because, first of all, who's going to want to go over there and see that ugly mug? I don't want to travel 8 hours to see him. His mother was more passable, you know? His mother, you know, his mother was like a sweet grandmother. Okay, let's go see sweet grandma. But him?
Right.
Who wants to see him?
Yes.
Nobody.
That's what made her death so important to this agenda. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I wouldn't doubt
they
that they killed her grandma. I wouldn't doubt that they, you know, said, okay, she's had a long life. No one's going to question it if she dies now. So let's just, you know, give her a few, let's give her a cocktail and sayonara, you know? Hasta la vista.
Yeah.
That's
her
it. We
was,
have to move. Yeah. We
I
have
think
to
her
move
death
this agenda forward.
Said old age.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, what does that say? They don't tell you anything else.
Sure.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
And they want it back.
So with 2020 being seen as the super year.
If you tried to play a drinking game for every time this man says sustainable markets, you would die within probably less than 2 minutes flat.
I am delighted to be launching a sustainable markets initiative. Sustainable markets, my sustainable markets initiative. Sustainable markets and markets rooted in sustainability. Within sustainable markets, the sustainable markets approach, shifting our default setting to sustainable. Sustainable markets of sustainable markets. Sustainable markets framework creates sustainable markets and brings sustainable markets into focus through the lens of sustainable markets. In accelerating the transition to sustainable markets, I have made sustainable markets my priority.
You know, when you look at Hitler, Hitler was such a close resemblance to Antichrist because Hitler came in when Germany was bankrupt, right? So he caused an economic resurgence, right? But then he also brought about a political resurgence.
Correct.
The Nazi Party. It was the Nazi Party that eliminated all of the other parties. Political, I mean, pure power grab, right? The Nazi Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but he reinvigorated the economy of the nation. Germany was again, you know, an economic force. But then he also turned it into a religion, right? The white Aryan race with all the mythology that went with that. So when you look at Antichrist, Antichrist embodies all three: political, economic, and the religious. So Charles is trying to revitalize the economic. And, you know, and that's key because, again, you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast.
Correct.
That's critical to Revelation.
Yes, it is.
So when he says, when he talks about sustainable markets, that's Antichrist language.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So
sustainable markets.
Most of this speech is your typical buzz phrase word salad of environmental platitudes that, you know, some group of PR people sit around in one of those trendy offices with the bouncy balls for chairs and they drink matcha lattes and, you know, they pull out a thesaurus and come up with these words that, I mean, it sounds like it means something.
As I've been trying to say for quite a long time, systems level framework, global value creation, outlining responsible transition pathways to a circular bioeconomy.
But after you listen to it for a good 10 minutes, let alone half an hour,
long-standing incentive structures,
it's unclear as to whether anything of substance has really been said at all.
Identifying game changers, moving together with clear roadmaps, a business model approach to revenue generation, connecting investments to investables.
Seriously, though, while half of this speech sounds like it's the kind of word salad that comes from feeding 30 years of WEF meetings into an AI and just reading whatever script it generates.
Investments or the wider enabling environment.
The other half is laden with some pretty heavy implications.
Through new technologies, we have the ability to tag, track, and trace supply chains in unprecedented ways.
I mean, we have a monarch crowned literally in the UN SDGs up there, openly declaring plans to use taxes,
policies, regulations,
and financial incentives,
reorientating economic subsidies, financial incentives, and regulations can have a dramatic and transformative effect on our market systems.
Which, of course, go both ways. To alter and control behavior in regard to resources toward an agenda.
Human and financial capital.
I mean, literally every history lesson you ever learned about how this goes bad is this right here yet again. It's just they got new words, new buzz phrases, new terms that dress it up for the 21st century.
Nature, ladies and gentlemen, is not a separate asset class.
For example, when he talks about the regenerated forests,
providing, at last, the economic incentive to value the vastly important ecosystem services provided by the immense biodiversity and carbon capture potential of restored and expanded forests.
I can only imagine what it must have felt like to live in the Robin Hood days prior to the Charter of the Forest, where the king always comes up with a way that people are denied access to the things.
Of restored and expanded forests, restored and expanded forests.
Greetings, Your Highness.
Enough! King, illegal forest, true pig, wild, kill in it as is.
What?
There's always a pretense, always a reason to deny people access to the resources they need to live, whether it be by premiums, fines, or outright restrictions, no matter what the reason supposedly is.
But now it is time to take it to the next level.
So here we are, guys, in 2022.
And as this digital global age coalesces,
we literally have yet another king.
We have to put ourselves on what might be called a warlike footing.
Talking about using the powers of taxation.
How we properly deploy taxes.
And war.
Here we need a vast military-style campaign.
To oversee societal transformation.
With trillions at his disposal, far beyond global GDP.
And, quote, shape the world.
The urgent need to shape the next 50 years that has inspired me.
And shape the world in his image.
Like a god on earth. Same as it ever was.
How we properly deploy taxes.
Taxes. Beautiful, lovely taxes.
Going back hundreds of years.
Eons. Millennia. Whatever.
Yet another king is overseeing the implementation of yet another unpopular, illegitimate control system that, like those of his other two named predecessors, will also have to be wholly rejected if the peoples of this world are ever to be truly free. As you could see, this system is supranational. It goes beyond the bounds of the political system within his own kingdom or the Commonwealth or any of that to something that is being implemented worldwide above and outside of governments.
ladies and gentlemen, we all pull together in a coordinated global initiative to tackle the greatest global threat, and with the greatest respect, beyond even the governments of the world's leaders.
Just like no one voted for the representatives of the World Economic Forum or the people who run the United Nations, neither did anyone, including the citizens within Great Britain, ever actually consent to this king. They don't have to, because that's the way that system works. He's, quote, royal blood, so he just gets to be there.
When they announced Charles to be our only rightful lord and king, this is something I felt I should accept in the 21st century. I appreciate other people have different views. So I called out who elected him. A couple of people near me told me to shut up. Fair enough, that's their free speech.
Yeah.
I responded by expressing why I thought we shouldn't have a head of state without being consulted. And then suddenly there were these three security guards grabbing me, pushing me backwards. Then the police took hold of me, led me away, arrested me, handcuffed me, apparently for expressing an opinion.
Crazy. That's crazy. Yeah?
Yeah. They have free speech, supposedly, over there.
Sure. Sure.
Supposedly.
Charles can go on and talk about, you know, systems and rejuvenating, and nobody stops
mm-hmm.
him and says, hey, you're a bumbling fool. Shut up.
Right.
Change the channel and put on the Three Stooges. I'd rather watch the Three Stooges than that.
Yeah. Well, all we've heard from Charles all these years is mummy. Mummy.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. Mummy.
Yeah. Oh. Now mummy's not there. Mummy's
yeah.
not there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow. Okay.
All right.
When they announced Charles to be our only rightful lord and king, this is something I felt I should accept in the 21st century. I called out who elected him. The police took hold of me, arrested me, handcuffed me. Apparently for expressing an opinion.
This was the ultimate survival food of our forefathers.
All right, we got an ad. I gotta take care of the ad. All right.
Alan Brody, author of The English Mummers and Their Plays, Traces of Ancient Mystery, ritual is not designed to be meaningful to the audience. The rituals aren't for them. Oh, they need the audience there when they're up there Harry Pottering and whatever. They need the audience's participation. They need the energy of that audience. But for the audience, it's ceremonial. That need of their participation does not extend to the need of them understanding why that ritual is being performed or what the ultimate purpose of that ritual actually is. Every time a high ritual in the magnitude of a monarch's coronation is performed, it is connected in time and space to, and its power multiplied by, every other performance of that same ritual. That's how rituals work. That is why the British system goes out of its way to maintain a strict protocol that ensures everything is as exact as it has been in coronations past. From the locations, to the specific garments and regalia used, their blessing and sanctification and in what order they're applied, to the order of the processions, to the way the altar's laid out, to the prayers made, oaths taken, songs sung, right down to the symbolism of the different crystals in the coronation crown, each of which has its own very specific meaning.
Other countries still have a monarchy, but very, very few have a medieval, in fact, none has a medieval coronation in the way that we do.
The coronation ceremony, a religious mass referred to by the BBC as, quote, the symbolic high point of the king's accession, is a religious initiation ritual carried out to invest and legitimize the king, sanctifying him as a sacred vassal to embody the spirit of their system. Coronations in Britain have been taking place at Westminster Abbey since William the Conqueror was crowned in 1066. All but two monarchs since then have been crowned there, each new ceremony building on the last and the past. The 5-pound solid gold-framed crown covered in jewels that will be placed on Charles III's head is known as St. Edward's Crown, named after former King Edward the Confessor, who was later sainted by the Anglican Church and canonized by the Pope. The Abbey claimed that Edward left a set of coronation regalia to be used at the coronations of all future monarchs. And following St. Edward's canonization, these items were considered holy relics. They were continually in use up until Oliver Cromwell's men thoroughly destroyed them after Charles I was found guilty of high treason and beheaded. For Charles II's coronation that would resurrect the monarchy, they dug up sometimes ancient manuscripts in order to recreate each and every piece necessary for the ritual down to as exact specifications as were possible. It is those pieces recreated for Charles II's coronation in 1661 that have been used ever since and will be brought back once again for Charles III's upcoming ceremony.
The all is an expression of religious and moral authority.
The royal family's links to slavery began during the reign of Queen Elizabeth I. The crown and the royal family was deeply involved in the slave trade and making money off the slave trade.
The all is an expression of religious and moral authority.
Charles II granted a charter to the royal adventurers originally, and they were then reconstituted as the Royal African Company to deal directly in enslaved Africans and to sell them in the New World.
The all is an expression of moral authority.
That suffering was not only immense, it was generational. And a lot of wealth was derived from this suffering.
The all is an expression of religious and moral authority.
The brands that were used on the bodies of enslaved people featured the name of monarchs. So, for example, the Duke of York, one of the brands that was used by the Royal African Company was the letters DY. And this was actually instructed to be put onto the bodies of enslaved people.
All is an expression of religious and moral authority.
Well, we're sorry, obviously we have one or two problems with getting to our program. We hope to join it in just a few seconds. In the meantime, a bit of music.
Well, once again, let me just keep you informed that we are having to change machines to bring you the rest of this film. All will be well, we are told, in a few seconds' time. And just as soon as we go back to the film, as soon as it's running, we'll go back to it. Well, things seem to be much better now, except for Richard Harris, who's still having a fairly tough time of things. We rejoin the film just where we left it. Nothing missed.
You know, I think a lot of people don't realize how good prunes really are.
St. Edward's crown, by the way, is only worn once by each monarch and only during this moment.
For many, the role of the crown jewels has been largely forgotten after 65 years without a coronation.
According to The Drama of Coronation by Alice Hunt, a scholarly work published by Cambridge University Press that analyzed medieval coronation ceremonies, a function of the coronation is to, quote, render the invisible visible, to make outward appearances reflect inward reality. The objects of regalia embody sacred kingship through recalling St. Edward, which are carried aloft in a processional. It is, quote, the notion of the regalia's connection with the past and the role that each piece will fulfill in the forthcoming sacred service that matters most.
And the sovereign scepter, a beautifully jeweled emblem of kingly power, with its 530-carat diamond,
largest of the four stars of Africa.
In an interview a few days ago, royal expert Katie Nichol told Entertainment Tonight that the scepter, orb, and imperial crown are, quote, probably the most important symbols of monarchy, and that the cross inscribed on both the scepter and the orb reflects the monarchy and the God-given right to monarchy.
They're not just objects of tremendous beauty and skill and craftsmanship and so on. They are an expression of the way in which authority has worked in this country, the relationship between the sovereign and the subject.
During coronation, the monarch, referred to as the undoubted heir, is made sacred through anointing with a specially prepared, blessed, sanctifying oil before being crowned. The anointing is considered the most sacred of all coronation rituals. The prayers uttered by the Archbishop of Canterbury prior to the anointing allude to the descent of the Holy Spirit and granting of a supernal grace upon the monarch. According to Hunt, the prayers spoken at coronation invoke biblical precedents of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Solomon, and David. And, quote, the language of the prayers appeals to the tangibility of grace and the efficacy of the oil. She went to great lengths to make the case that this anointing, which is said to be what makes the monarch legitimate, is considered to be by God, infused with God's grace and equated with his anointed biblical forefathers. Quote, it is the oil that makes priests and kings, and it is through anointing. Once the monarch is anointed, Hunt points out, the prayer Deus de Filius stresses the physical transformation into king or queen brought about by the oil. She clarifies, the oil is not invoked as a symbol of God's grace. It is God's grace in material form. Continuing, quote, further physical transformation of the body of the king is invoked through the visible dressing of the king in his coronation robes. The monarch is then built up in front of the congregation with each new layer of regalia, a piece at a time, object by blessed and consecrated object, including a mantle, quote, representative of the earthly monarchical power derived from God.
A majesty being now anointed, wearing the colobium sindonis, and the super tunica, or close pall of cloth of gold, together with a girdle of the same, is seated once more in King Edward's chair.
Each exoteric item has a precise symbolism correlated to its esoteric attributes. As without, so within. Finally, the monarch is crowned. As the prayer Corone Te Deus Corona Glory makes clear, ultimately, it is God who crowns the king. And she also went on to point out, the regalia items are basically magical vestments considered so powerful they confer virtues to the monarch that he or she does not already have.
Receive this imperial realm. The Lord your God endue you with knowledge and wisdom, with majesty and with power from on high. The Lord clothe you with the robe of righteousness and with the garment of salvation.
Quote, the blessing of each garment and object and the accompanying consecratory prayers transfer the gifts and virtues of kingly governance, as if held in their very fabric. The language does not express the bestowal of royal clothes as symbols of kingly virtues already possessed, but bestows them as consecrated objects, as sacred embodiments of those virtues. Similarly, the objects of the regalia are inextricable from the rites of the office they symbolize. They constitute those very rites.
Then shall the orb with the cross be brought from the altar by the Dean of Westminster and delivered into the Queen's right hand by the Archbishop.
The coronation processional through London serves an important ritual purpose as well. This processional is where the monarch is recognized and publicly acclaimed by his people, and with further ritual purpose, this civic acclamation celebrates the divinity of the king. That is its purpose. As an American, I have to ask, how can a political system be considered legitimate authority when the monarch ruling over it is thought to be a divine appointed by God? What mere mortals could ever really challenge the king or queen, or anything, if that's the structure of the system they claim to rule by?
I have been generous up till now. I can be cruel.
Generous? What have you done with generous?
Everything.
Plans for Charles III's coronation, which the mainstream media are reporting will likely take place in the spring or summer of 2023, during the 70th anniversary year of Queen Elizabeth II's coronation, have already been in the planning stages for years now. I think I saw somewhere they said they've been planning this since 2015. They've been planning this for years. Under the code name Operation Golden Orb.
An expression of spying.
Scottish authorities have confirmed that the Stone of Scone, or ancient stone weighing in at exactly 336 pounds, upon which Scottish kings have been crowned for centuries, will be brought down for Charles' coronation throne. The ceremony will reportedly be toned down from that of his mother's to reflect Charles' vision for a slimmed-down, more modern monarchy. The ceremony is paid for by the government, and the government is in turn paid for by the people. They're calling it a cost-of-living coronation that promises to reflect the ethnic diversity of modern Britain, to include religious leaders from all over the world. They have announced that the anointing will take place at this coronation. And there are people out there who claim that this is just a ceremonial thing. It doesn't really have any power or meaning anymore. If that's the case, why have it at all? Why spend hundreds of millions of dollars to continue to prop it up? Why continue to go through all of these extremely high rituals? That argument makes no sense even on its face, let alone when you actually look into it. CBS News here in the States reported that the coronation ceremony is religious and symbolic, but not a constitutional requirement, and Charles III is no less the king for not having been through the process yet, which I think is a very interesting statement that directly contradicts 20th century scholarly publications, such as this limited edition work detailing the coronation order of King James I, edited by a fellow of the Royal College of Physicians and the Society of Antiquaries, wherein the coronation was described as, quote, not a mere pageant, but a needful, solemn inauguration of the new king. Not a mere device for the amusement of the people, but the real and serious admission of the king to the performance of his duties and consecration to his great office. Until the king was consecrated and crowned, he was not really king, only king-elect. The coronation is described as, quote, a rite of the utmost moment, partaking in some sort of sacramental character. Without it, the king was not a king at all, or king only in a very imperfect sense. The king was put into actual possession of the royal office only by the ecclesiastical consecration.
Just fear me, love me, do as I say, and I will be your slave.
Coronation is perhaps the highest ritual ever performed in England, or at least that the public knows about. But there's something else that this ritual does, with all its ceremonial links going back not just over 1,000 years of British kings and queens, but they claim it goes back to the Old Testament days of anointing kings, despite, as Thomas Paine pointed out in Common Sense, God's direct warning that having kings would totally suck. King Charles III's coronation says to the rest of the world, unequivocally, mincing no words, that King Charles is God's anointed on earth above all other men, period. As the Online Library of Liberty points out, this pageantry of royal events does not hide some of its most unappealing aspects, namely its disregard for the notion of the equal and inalienable rights of man, the idea that political sovereignty can be passed down from one generation to the next through a bloodline, and that any legitimate sovereign has an equal right to that political power, regardless of their skills, capacities, or moral character. And I've seen people online in recent days making jokes about how Charles won the birth lottery. But all jokes aside, such a system as divine hereditary monarchy invalidates the very idea of human equality. The anointing of King Charles as God's divine representative on earth stands in direct contradiction of ideas we enshrine here in America in documents like our Declaration of Independence, where it was written, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
To whom we do acknowledge all faith and obedience."
How can we affirm all humans are created equal when certain humans in power are claiming divine status to rule over the rest of us, over the rest of the world? As I said before, history has shown such imbalanced systems never remain that way for long.
Alrighty, so here we have Prince Charles, who now is King Charles III, and I guess he is going to try to enslave the world, and in so doing, I'm not saying he is the Antichrist, but let's just say he's one step away from the Antichrist. You know what's also interesting? Not that I'm into Catholic prophecy and I put any stock into Catholic prophecy, but Pope Francis has been saying, you know, when I die and they put in a new pope, then the Antichrist will show up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look, he's in a wheelchair, you know, and yeah. And then you got Charles being put in now. And we're getting close. We're getting close there, Sister Marie. We're getting close.
Yeah, these kings believe that they're gods on earth. Now, when he sits himself in that seat, let's hope he doesn't declare himself as God. You know what I'm saying? Then we know. Then
yeah.
We know.
And, that's one weird dude.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing, you know, the whole thing is just weird.
Yep,
the whole,
yeah,
because here's the thing. He's the King of England, right? But he's more German than anything else. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sister Marie.
No. Via somewhere else, by the way, which I'm looking into myself personally.
Right.
I have some great stuff going back on him that I was, really want to do some research on.
Right.
So,
because you're the one who brought it to my attention that his daddy is more
mm-hmm.
German than anything else,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Philippe there, Mr. Philip.
Yep.
So, you know, these people are trained to be snobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just, you know, they're just brought up to be snobs. I mean, think about it. If the guy, I remember watching one time a movie called Cinderfella. Not Cinderella, mm-hmm. but Cinderfella. And it was, yeah. and it was by Jerry Lewis. You know, Jerry Lewis, the comedian.
Yes. Yeah.
And in that movie, there was like a 40-foot table. There was a 40-foot table, and Jerry Lewis is at one end, and his fairy godmother, his wicked stepmother was at the other end. Pepper is right next to her. But she says, Cinderfella. And he said, yes, a stepmother. And he says, may I have the pepper? And he runs.
Yep.
It took him a half hour to run from his side of the table to where her side was. And the pepper was right there. And he had to sprinkle it on her plate.
Yeah, that's what Charles did.
Yeah.
Essentially,
and, you know,
with that letter.
Sure. And you know, and basically what the letter was, Charles, don't forget to go to preschool today. That's basically what the letter was.
Exactly.
Right? So, because that's what his mummy was telling them. Don't forget forget your Lunchables when you go to preschool. So,
mummy.
Yeah.
That's all I hear in my head. I'm sorry.
But these, you know, I see this all mm-hmm. over the world. I see people who, you see this in the church, my goodness. Here you have a guy who grew up in the projects with you. I mean, you were apartment 2E and he was apartment 3F. You lived in the same building.
Right.
You both took the smelly, urinated elevator. You both went to school for breakfast, you know, in the summertime. And then now he's the bishop, and now you have to kneel mm-hmm. and kiss his ring? Wait a minute. A couple of years ago, we were breakdancing together.
Exactly.
I don't get it, but this is the crazy world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Well, I think the problem is they're trying to please the powers, or the power that to be, the upcoming power, rather than the power that's already here. You know?
Yeah.
That power that already is.
You're right. So, this was a great show.
Thank you very much.
Great show. And as we announced last week, I shall be departing for church reasons. And you have a decision you have to share with the audience. So,
my decision is kind of made for me at this point because my equipment does not allow me to do the shows on my own. I need upgrades. My daughter checked that out. You know.
All right.
So, and my kids are saying that they want some time, and I want some time with the Lord. I really do. I think right now there's some research I want to do. You know, you want to get back to your first love.
Right.
Spend some time. And that's how I feel. So I would say, if you see me, you see me. You know, I will find out how to get in there. I will, you know, make sure that I get with you.
Yeah. When you need to get in, all that information is yours and, you know, I'll give you a tutorial and all that good stuff. And when you're ready to come back in. But your slot will be held for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I just want to say I am so grateful for the wonderful, wonderful brothers and sisters that we have in here each week that faithfully show up, you know.
Amen.
People, you know, we have a lot of discerning people in here. And, you know, they must want truth. Because they came back. We went through some really, really hard subjects. Hard for us to do. You know, we just, you know, drilled away at this and we are where we are. But they stuck with us. And I'm so thankful to them. And I want to say thank you. And I'm just honored that they came every week. They would come back every week. And I'm thankful for that. You know,
absolutely. You and I have like a 7-year run,
mm-hmm.
And it's been a pleasure. And, you know, you guys, you've been fantastic. And I just thank the Lord, you know. And look, when we look back, you know, when we stand before the Lord on that great day, I don't believe that you and I have anything to be ashamed of when we did these shows. We gave it our all. We, you know, we spoke truth every time. We didn't embellish anything. We didn't make stuff up. We documented everything. And, you know, so I hope that when you get, you know, when you spend enough time with your kids and when you get your equipment upgraded and all that good stuff, that you'll be back to do your own show. And I look forward to coming back and listening to the End Time News Report with the one and only incomparable Sister Marie.
We'll see how things go.
My wife says, why do you have to yell every time you say that? I said, because I'm excited. So she doesn't get she doesn't get it. But right, so you have the last word for this show, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah. Well, I would like to say to all our listeners, to my brothers and sisters, just grace, peace, and love from me to you. And I'll see you when I see you. That's all I can say right now. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Bye.
As the world becomes entwined in the lies from Satan's mind, a leader will arise to take the reins. Saying love will bring us peace if you put your hope in me. Renounce the name of Jesus or be slain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. As the masses take his mark, believe the lie to chill their hearts. They'll know the time has come to seal their fate. Those who cling to the cross will refuse and pay the cost as God redeems his own from the sea of pain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Them feel their sin and shame. You can make the choice right now. Trust in Christ, our hope and crown. Or watch the world you love go up in flames. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got everything to lose. Which way will you choose? You got it.